Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music and the opportunity to be in church here on Wednesday night. I know even though it's budget night, we're still in church and we get to enjoy looking to the Word of God and see what the Bible says about why the church has a budget. And so if you have the book of, if you have your Bibles with you, if you look up to the book of Malachi with me, chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. Now we've been in a series on Joshua on Wednesday nights. And so we'll get right back into that next Wednesday night, so make sure you come back for that. But tonight, we're going to be looking here in the book of Malachi. Malachi was a prophet to the children of God after their captivity, once they returned out of captivity. And this is something that God had a message for them, and we'll be looking in this. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 12. Malachi chapter 3. Starting in verse 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, just pray, God, that you would just meet with us as we go over these biblical principles and then as we present a budget for this new upcoming year. And I just pray, God, that, Lord, as I go over this and preach this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would just speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. Bless in our services tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So God is addressing his children, and of course it had been some time that had been taken into captivity because they rebelled against the Lord, started following after other gods, and now God has never forsaken them, but God had continued to remind them how important it is for them to get back to what God had established for them. And they were somewhat stubborn, and they didn't want to look at it as God wanted them to see it, and so they did not want to see it as robbing God. And yet God very, very plainly told them what was taking place. And he says, "I am God, I change not. You ought to know the way I work, the way God worked in the beginning, the way God worked during, before the captivity, during captivity, after captivity, would be the same because God never changes." And biblical principles that God has established for us, they never change. We serve the same God today. And so God could be speaking to us, and I believe he is through the prophecy here, but he changes not. And as we understand, one of the things that you don't want to do is to rob God, because when you rob God, then you are cursed with a curse. And we find this is what's taking place with the children of God. And so now they're turning, and the prophet is revealing to them what they need to do to be able to have God's blessings upon their lives. And so I love this passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that every born-again believer needs to understand and realize how it applies to us during this New Testament church age. He addresses the sins of Israel and prophetically was addressing the New Testament church as well. I mean, he is addressing Israel, but we know that everything in the Bible, God, the Old Testament was to prepare us for this New Testament church age. And this is the age that he would send his son. This is what it was all about from day one, from the very beginning, is Jesus Christ coming to this earth and being that sacrificial lamb, and set an example for us, establishing his church, and then ascending to heaven and allowing the church to do the work and reaching the world with the gospel. And so we know this is what it was all about. But so this this was a prophecy, was addressing the nation of Israel then, but it's also addressing the church today. He even refers to the coming of John the Baptist. We know in chapter 3, this was referring to the church and the New Testament church age. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he starts out this chapter by this. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And so there's no doubt that Malachi here was prophesying what would be taking place, ushering in the New Testament church age. And God's message to the people was, acknowledge me and honor me and do what I say to do. And if you'll do that, if you'll turn to me, then I'll return to you and you'll have my blessings. And you can have my blessings as a people. You can have my blessings as a church. In verse 8, he speaks of the two things concerning our finances. And these two things is concerning the message to the church and the finances of the people in the church is found here. And it reveals to us tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. And in verse 10, the purpose for the tithes and offerings. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So he says, you return unto me. And so how are you going to return unto me? They're wanting to understand this and want to know what they need to do. Honor me. Put God first. And you'll see that in how you are giving of your tithes and offerings. If you're truly saved and committed to honoring God and committing to live the life that God wants you to live as a born-again believer, then you will get into this message and you will give as God would have you to give through what God has established. And that is the local New Testament church. A storehouse is God's house in the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. Well, God's house for us today is the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We need to put these two together. Mine house, he said. Mine house in the Old Testament. The tabernacle, the temple. Now we go into the New Testament. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. After giving the conditions for the pastor and the deacon in the church and all the different things concerning that. Then he says this in verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in" where? The house of God. Okay, the house of God. That's exactly what he was referring to in the Old Testament concerning the children of Israel. Okay, the house of God, which is, it's listed here, it tells you exactly. It's just not the Baptist plan, it's God's plan. It's God revealing it to us. The house of God, which is in this day and age, since Christ came, the church. And it's the church of the living God. Amen. And it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. So the storehouse, there is no doubt what God is using through the prophecy here, a prophecy for the New Testament church and New Testament Christianity. He is telling us that this storehouse is his house. And so it represents this New Testament church. The church is made up of born-again believers. The Lighthouse Baptist Church, even though we're meeting in this facility is not the Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's the properties that we have. But the Lighthouse Baptist Church is made up of individual believers. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and every other New Testament church. Every New Testament church is made up of believers. That's the local New Testament church. That is the storehouse. That is God's house as he's working through God's people in God's house. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, it's good to be reminded of these things. It helps us to keep our minds and our focus where they need to be. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Okay, so he's telling us that this is every church, every local New Testament church around the world If it is a biblical church, it's God's house, made up of individual believers that God saves and then plants in that local New Testament church. I believe every member of this church was led here by the Lord and planted here by the Spirit of God. And now you're a member of this church. You make up what the Lighthouse Baptist Church is. You're part of this house of God. You're part of this local new called out assembly of believers. In verse 18, he says this, but now hath God set the members, okay, God, it's his house, it's his family, amen? It's his local called out assembly. They're all the same. And I mean, he doesn't differ from the Jews to the Greeks to around the world. His house, he has the same scriptures, the same authority for every one of them. And that's the Bible that we have before us here. And it's to be developed the very same way. It's to have a pastor, to have deacons, it's to have the different workers in the church. It's a body. Every local church has its own body. It is its own body. But God is the one that builds a church. God's the one that establishes his church. And so, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. So as Malachi, being used of God to be able to instruct the nation of Israel, he is also being used of God by God to instruct us today concerning the house of God, concerning having God's blessings or not. God says, I'm the same. I haven't changed. You want my blessings? Return unto me. You return unto me and start putting me where I need to be in your life, then I will return unto you. Every local New Testament church that wants God's blessings had better put God first and return to the doctrines that God established, return to doing what God has established the church to do. The church is not a boys' club or a girls' club. Amen? It's not an entertainment center. It's not a place we go to have a place for our children to mingle with other children. Now, all those things somewhat take place, but that's not what it is. It's the house of God. Amen. Established by the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the church. He gave himself for the church. So that we might continue to do the work that he established. That's the church. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God blesses, listen to me now, this is important, knowing that God planted you in that church that he put you in, okay? God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. You know why the Lighthouse Baptist Church is financially strong? And as I present to you the budget, you're going to see some of that. We are financially strong because we have a membership that acknowledges God. And God has blessed our membership so that they are able to give to keep the Lighthouse Baptist Church storehouse, if you will, strong. And God will do that to any of his churches. And every member of every New Testament church, biblical church, needs to understand, if you want your church to be blessed, and if you want to be blessed, get back to doing what God says to do with your tithes and offerings. God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. That's one of the reasons. Now, also to supply your need and to bless your family and to allow you to do, but right up there at the very top, the first fruits. If you're saved, you're God's child, God's going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to your church. Tithes and offerings is God's plan. It's not the Baptist plan. I love it because as a preacher, it's not my plan. I have the privilege and the blessing to just preach what God's already established. And know that it will work as long as we do it His way. Can I tell you that we should want to give? That's it. If every member understood what the Bible says about the church and tithes and offerings, and if you truly wanted to be what God wants you to be to your church, then you have placed yourself where God can bless you so that you can give. Because that's God's plan. God bless me so that I can buy a car, bless me so I can do this, and bless me so I can do this. With whatever finances I have, I want to be able to do this and go there. I want to go on vacation. Listen to me. That should not be the main reason that you want God's blessings on your finances. The main reasons is so that you might be able to be all that God wants you to be to your church. And give as God wants you to give to keep the storehouse strong. So the work that Christ established, the most important work that's taken place on planet Earth today, is the work that God established for the church. And the way God has designed to keep it strong is not through the government. It's not through being financed by the lost. It's not bringing in visitors so they can give into the offering plate. It is discipling believers to understand what you have to do to have God's blessings on your life. And when you understand that and you have the desire to give, not only will you be blessed, but your church will be blessed because of you. Amen. That's such a blessing when we understand that. So once you understand that, then you want to say, all right, well, what is the tithe? The tithe was established by Jacob, who would become Israel. And the tithe was established back in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. We'll not go back and go into all that, but that's where the 10% comes in. God led him to commit that. As God would bless Jacob and Jacob would tithe, then God would work out in Jacob's life. God would work through Israel to keep the storehouse, as it would later, after coming out of Egypt and establishing the tabernacle, they would bring it to the tabernacle, which is the storehouse, so that the tabernacle would be strong and be able to accomplish what God had for the tabernacle to accomplish. Then it was a temple once they got into the promised land. And today, the body is a temple of God, but every temple makes up the storehouse, which is a local New Testament church. The tithe. So we look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, once we understand this idea of the 10%, that's cut and dry. I had somebody tell me once, said, "Preacher, we're not coming back Sunday night." I said, "Why aren't you coming back?" I said, "Well, we figured if we only come Sunday morning, and then on Wednesday, we'd only have to put 2/3 of a tithe in." Isn't that what it is? So it's 3% for every service you come to. So if I only come to one service, I only have to be unreal what some people think about when it comes to tithing, you know? No, it's 10%. Whether you're only able to come to one service, if you don't come to any service, mail it in. Amen? It's 10%. If you want God's blessings, give what God says to give. Yeah, amen. Proverbs chapter, I did have somebody actually tell me that. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 3. You stay in the ministry long enough, you'll hear everything. Amen? Nothing surprises you anymore. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. Can I tell you, that's what it's all about. Amen. Some people say, well, it's not New Testament. You can't find. Yes, you can if you're looking for it. If you understand what Malachi was addressing the church, the New Testament church. Jesus even acknowledged it. And you get caught up in all these other things. Tithe is important. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. That means put Him first in your finances. of all thine increase. Because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have any increase. And God has a purpose for blessing you with your increase. And one of the purposes for blessing you with your increase is so that you can be a blessing to your church. When you understand that, you'll desire to give. And then God will make a way for you to do that. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that's the very same promise you find in Malachi. It's what honors the Lord. 10%. That's the tithe. But he didn't stop with tithe. It's tithes and. You can't give an offering if you, first of all, have not given the tithe. Brother Scott, if you owed me $20, you owe me $20, and you come up to me and says, can I give you $5? I said, no, you can't give me $5. You pay me the 20, then you can give me a gift, but you owe me 20. Amen. People want to just give God without tithing. Let me give him a dollar when the plate comes around, or give him this, or give him that. Listen, you're not giving God anything. You're still robbing God if you haven't paid him what you owe him. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying to them. Stop trying to give me what you don't want. And that's what they were doing. They wouldn't take the best of the flock. They would take the most feeble of the flock. He said, you can't give me anything until you've paid me what you owe me. It's mine. Stop robbing me. And you want to make yourself feel good by thinking, well, I gave him $5. That would make you feel good until I say, oh, no, I'm going to reject that because I don't want your $5. I want the 20 that you owe me. That's mine. Yeah. Amen. That's tithe. And then once you've given tithe, then you're ready and to give God an offering. Offering is above the tithe. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, in the month of June, we go over this, understanding faith, promise, missions. I believe that is the offering that God is looking for in this New Testament church age. And that is missions. Missions is not a tithe. Well, the church ought to tithe. What do you mean the church ought to tithe? The Bible doesn't say that. That's all the money come in the storehouse, that's for the church. The offering is for missions. Amen. We don't have time to get into all that, or we'd be here longer than you want to say tonight, but the idea there is, don't confuse the two. You can't give an offering. Some people just want to give to missions. Well, you can give to missions, but don't expect God to acknowledge that if you're not tithing what you ought to be tithing. One of the reasons, I'll tell you this, one of the reasons that we shut down our school ministry there. There was a lot of things going on there, but it was never, there at the end, it was not doing what we wanted to do. We wanted the church to come first. But the idea there is people got in the mindset that as I'm tithing, then I'll just tithe through paying my children's tuition. No. And even today, if you send your kids to a Christian school, well, I'm going to use my tithe to put them in a Christian school. God will bless it. No, God will not bless that. Because that's not God's plan. That's not God's order. You tithe. Storehouse, church. Offering. Offering is missions that God works through the church as well. Yeah. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and 9, these two chapters reveal to us, this is not tithing. The offering is talking about, the monies we're talking about here, Paul was addressing the church at Corinth, and all the churches there was concerning how they were going to support missions work outside their church. They were to take offerings from their church, amen, to be able to give as God had prospered them to be able to support missions works. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, and there's so much here, but verse 12 says this, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. That's not talking about the tithe, because God says tithe is 10%. That's first fruits. But according to what you have over that, then you give as God has prospered you. You pray about it. The Bible does not say a percentage on giving of offerings, on giving to missions, but a desire to give. And if you understand how God blesses those that give, then you'll have a desire not only to give of your tithe, but you'll have a desire to give of offerings and give as much as you can. Yeah. That's what he says. And then chapter 9 and verse 7. When you understand this, this is how we are to do that. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, and you're coming to that understanding of tithes 10%, but the offerings, and this is how God's blessed us, and this is how much we're going to give. It's between you and God. But you purposed it in your heart, so let him give. And you won't give grudgingly. You'll not give out of necessity, but you'll give the way God wants you to give, as a cheerful giver. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord for that. So the offering is above the tithe. We are to, according to Paul writing and given to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, lay it aside every week. Lay it aside as you are paid, if you will. But now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, can I tell you, did you see that word order? Everything is to be done decently in order. That's why we're going to have a budget tonight. That's why we're having this business meeting for the budget. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, the Lord's day, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. We're still talking about offering here. So the tithe and the offering being brought in, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Don't rob me by keeping my tithe or giving less than what I have led you to give in your offerings to missions. Lay it aside every week. Improve God's will and blessings. Prove me now. That's what God says to do. Once you get a hold of this, you'll see God work in your life and strengthen you so that you can be a strength to the storehouse. Must keep the storehouse strong. The first and the main reason is because it's how God intends to work the Great Commission. God works through the church to reach the world, to say, get them saved. Keep the storehouse strong where they can bring them in to baptize them and disciple them. All around the world, we need to have strong churches, strong biblical churches, to be able to finance the church, to keep the church able to reach out, to bring them in, to baptize them. Only scriptural place to be baptized is the church. Has God's doctrine, and then you have God's authority. And then disciple them. We need to keep the storehouse strong because every believer is the light of the world. And believers are to be recharged on a regular basis. What happens to the batteries of the light? If you don't recharge them, you just keep getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Before you know it goes out. God has designed the church as a filling station for the lights. Amen. Every pastor needs to understand that. Every pastor needs to make sure that as you're overseeing the church and the ministries, understand everybody that walks through the doors, the Spirit of God has led them here and brought them to this place, and everyone coming in needs to be recharged. Better make sure we're giving it our best. Every special, every congregational song, everything that takes place in God's house needs to be done to the best of our abilities, with God's strengthening every one of us. Amen. Because this is a filling station for born-again believers. keep our lights on. Yeah. Needs to recharge regularly. That's why it says, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You need that recharged. Now keep that light as bright as it can be.